Our scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I know that going back to school this year looks different than any other year, but it still got me thinking about my own experiences. My first day of kindergarten started out like most. My mom took the required pictures with me and my sister, who was going into third grade, and walked us out to the bus stop. My mom prepped me that when we got to school, my sister would walk me to my classroom before she went to hers to make sure that I found it okay. My mom made sure several times that my sister was aware of this plan. My sister confirmed that she was, and the school bus arrived, and we went and got on it together. I think my sister might have even grabbed my hand and walked me to the bus since mom was watching. So I was feeling pretty good on the way to school. We arrived at school 5 minutes later, and I walked with my sister into the front door. Even though I'd been there for kindergarten orientation and all, I walked into the door and kind of panicked. Which way was my classroom, left or right? I just couldn't remember. Luckily, I remembered my sister was to take me to my classroom. I looked around for her and found her darting up the stairs to her classroom without even saying goodbye or good luck on your own. I stood frozen. Thankfully, being the first day of school, the school was prepared and had some parent volunteers at the door. One parent recognized my special kindergarten name tag and asked me if I needed help finding my classroom. I think a little nod of the head yes was all I could manage as I began to let this strange adult lead me away from my carefree childhood into this scary world of elementary school. Then I heard a familiar voice say, "Excuse me," to the volunteer. I turned and I saw a girl that I knew from our church standing with her little brother. This girl, going only into first grade, did not have the coolness complex of my sister, and she was following her mother's instructions to take her brother to his classroom. The girl informed the volunteer that her brother and I were in the same class, and so she would be glad to walk me down to my classroom. So I walked down the hallway with these two, was dropped at my classroom, and suddenly the big world of kindergarten was not so scary anymore. Now, why tell this story? Well, it's not just to make my sister look like a bad person. In fact, despite this moment, and since this is going to be on the internet forever, let me clarify that she is now a very welcoming person. She is welcoming students back as a high school Spanish teacher this year, and I am confident she would not leave any of them lost in the hallway. So instead, I told this story because I think it's a good example of how we're supposed to live versus how we often do live, especially in light of our scripture from this morning. In this passage, Paul is teaching us about how, as Christians, we're called to love others. Yet for Paul, loving others is not just some pleasant greeting card sentiment. It's a real call for how we live our lives. And that's hard, because sometimes it's just easier to turn and run up the stairs and leave the person in need of love to fend for herself. Let's face it, we all turn and run up the stairs at times in our lives. We ignore those who are in need of love. We fail to even notice that they're there. We think we're too busy or we're too important to help them out. We don't really like them enough to love them. We don't know how to love them. Yet, we're called to be the type of people who see the lost and the last and the least and the confused and say, you know, I'll walk them to class. I see that person. I have the time for that. I'm not here for revenge. And most importantly, I love them. So how then do we go about having this type of genuine love for others? What is Paul telling us to do? Well, I think most of these instructions can be summed up into three categories of what love is. And they're all going to start with the letter P. So if that helps you remember things, you're all set this morning. So this morning, we're going to talk about love that is persistent, personal, and practical. So first then, Paul teaches us that love is persistent. Love does not give up easily. It keeps giving. It keeps going. In fact, according to Paul, love is so persistent that we're called to keep loving even when other people don't love us back. The people that hate us, we're called to feed our hungry enemies. We're called to give drink to our thirsty enemies. We're called to love and not to revenge. We're called to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, any of you in your life that have somebody that you don't get along with, which I assume is every single one of us, will know that this type of persistent love is extremely difficult. It's hard to love people who don't love you back. It's a lot easier to give revenge than to show love. At the very least, even if we aren't going to actively seek revenge, it would be nice if Paul was just willing to let us ignore the people that we don't like. But that's not what the scripture says. It says love. It says keep on loving. And what does that look like? It looks like not cursing those we don't like. Which before you think, well, I'm not like calling down God's wrath on somebody, so I'm probably okay. This really just means like, let's not say mean things about people behind their backs. And let's not gossip. That's a little harder, right? And what's more, persistent love means serving those who might not like us. It means that we aren't supposed to hit back, either literally or figuratively. Love is persistent. Love doesn't give up just because it's not returned. Love doesn't get even. Love doesn't stop just because it isn't easy. Love is persistent. And second, love is personal. Love isn't just some sort of big idea. It's something that real, actual people show to other real, actual people. When Paul talks about contributing to the needs of the saints or about showing hospitality to the stranger, Those are real people he is talking about. There are real saints and real strangers in our own lives today. The same is true when it comes to rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. We all know real, actual people in our lives who rejoice and who weep. Now, in some ways, this is good news for us because it allows for us to have interactions with, and more importantly, to form relationships with those that we're loving. It allows for us to experience how our love for others matters, how it transforms, and also how a lack of love can affect real other people. Yet I also think this kind of love that is personal, it brings a couple of challenges that we must overcome. First, we have to remember that all people are real, actual people. That might seem kind of weird to remind you of, but it means that we have to show this real, personal love to everybody. That includes our family and our friends. It also includes the cashier at the grocery store, the person driving too slow in front of you or following too close behind you, the coworker who still can't figure out Zoom even though it's been like 6 months, the person at the restaurant who gets your takeout order wrong. It includes everybody. And personal love also includes the type of people we disagree with, the people who don't vote that we do, the people that we just know are wrong, the people who think that everything should be open and the people that think everything should be closed. Paul tells us in this passage that if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. He doesn't say just live peaceably with those you like or those you agree with or those it's easy to live peaceably with. He says all. Because love is personal, and we are all people. And second, this personal love, it actually impacts real people. How we act and how we treat others, how we love, that changes other people's lives. And as Christians, our personal love should always point back to God's love. Loving personally is not about catering to somebody's likes and dislikes, or what you just think is best for them, or just being nice. Loving personally is also not about being fake nice to try to get somebody to change their mind so they agree with you and do what you want them to do. Instead, genuine personal love should point all these real, actual people we're showing love to the genuine personal love that God has for them. We love others because God loves us. And all our individual acts of love should point back to the love of God. Love is personal. So love is instant, and love is personal. And finally, love is practical. These things that Paul is telling us here, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we'll discover that just about every day of our lives, we have the opportunity to live them out. We can show genuine love. We can hate what is evil. We can show honor. We can rejoice in hope. We can be patient in suffering. And we can persevere in prayer. We can serve the saints and show hospitality to the stranger. We can live in harmony with one another. And the list, it goes on and on. All of this stuff is stuff that we can actually do. It's practical. Love is not just something that we talk about. It's something that we live out. Yet just because it's practical doesn't mean that it's easy. I can pretty much guarantee that none of us are living out each and everything that Paul mentions in this scripture passage. In some ways, this scripture can almost be overwhelming. Like, you mean to tell me this is actually how I'm supposed to live my life right here? Well, yes, it is. But it doesn't have to be an overnight thing where suddenly we're all just perfect at loving other people. Instead, it's a lifelong commitment where we're constantly taking steps to learn and to grow. We're called to love. We're called to love that is persistent. We're called to love that is personal. We're called to love that is practical. Yet I know it might be overwhelming to think about all those things at once. So this is what we're going to do. To close us this morning, I'm going to read our scripture one more time. And while I read it, I want you to listen for a sentence or a section or a word that sticks out to you. A word or a sentence or a section that you think is a persistent or personal or practical step you could take this week towards growing in love for others. So here again is Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So pick a verse or a sentence. Read the passage again later if you need to. Maybe write down your words for the week somewhere where you will see them. And use them as a reminder to live out love that is persistent and personal and practical. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the unconditional and unending love that you have shown to each and every one of us. Lord, guide us to be people who love one another with genuine love. Love that is persistent. Love that's personal. Love that's practical. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.